olo e whaafafonga ili SBS Samoan sa ili nisi mautala ili sbs.com.au/samoan.
Good morning, Melissa Conley-Taylor.
Hello, thank you for talking to me today.
The Asia-Pacific Development Diplomacy and Defence Dialogue, AP4D, what is it?
Well, it's a new initiative which was set up to try to improve Australia's linkages and connections with the region in a difficult and contested world. Some of those artificial distinctions between defence, diplomacy, development and the other things that don't start with D need to be broken down. We need to use, you know, all tools of statecraft if we're going to engage strongly with the region of which Australia is part. So we're funded from Defence, from Foreign Affairs and housed at ACFA, as the peak body for the non-government development sector. And our job is to bring together ideas and particularly voices from the region and bring those into Canberra policy debates.
So it is part of the federal government?
We're funded by, but we're hosted at ACFID. So we're a proper non-government organisation and initiative across the sector.
You've sent out a media release on the Indo-Pacific broadcasting strategy. Tell me, why is that important?
Yeah, well, we've just finished consultations for a paper looking at what it looks like for Australia to support youth, civil society and media in the Pacific. We were looking at them because we see them as three absolutely key sectors for the future. If you think about what life's going to look like in the Pacific in decades to come, what's happening with youth, what's happening with civil society, what's happening with media are absolutely crucial. So as part of this, we talked to media experts and broadcasters across Pacific, in PNG, in Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Tonga, Cook Islands. And there's, I mean, it's really clear just how many challenges they face. You know, there's aging infrastructure, there's a struggle to access funding and, you know, to support publishing and broadcasting. And Australia clearly has a role in this area. You know, Australia can and should be supporting investments to, you know, make sure that the absolutely vital media sector is financially viable into the future.
Well, there's one thing to improve infrastructure and pour funding into it, but I guess with the elephant that's in the room every time that you talk about media in the Pacific are the governments in the Pacific themselves not being amenable to a free press. Yeah. Is that a problem?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you think of the free press as being the, you know, the bulwark of an open society, if you see it as, you know, a vital information source, advocacy tool, as the way that you have good governance, the media and its strength and its independence are absolutely crucial. Now, you know, when you're talking government to government relations, it's of course difficult, you know. But in terms of Australia understanding that it should be investing in those key parts of well-functioning societies, I think you can make that case very strongly that it's not about pushing against, say, one particular government. It's about saying this is an infrastructure that is needed across the region all the time, and Australia should see its long-term role as being a funder for that.
I'll come back to that a bit later, but you said in your media release, and I quote, that a robust media sector is crucial to counter the rapid spread of mis- and disinformation and to shape the trajectory of the region in the context of strategic competition. Are you alluding to China's influence in the region?
Look, I think you'd have to say that is an unstated background to a document like this new Indo-Pacific broadcasting strategy. Mm. It does not at any point mention China, okay? And I think the Australian government is very clear about that. We're not going to mention that word. But I think, you know, when it's talking about, you know, strengthening media sector, I think it's seeing that if Australia is not an actor, if Australia is not a, you know, partner of choice in the region, well, somebody else might end up being that partner of choice. So I think it's unstated, but it's definitely there.
In the late 90s, the then Labor government established something called the Pacific Media Training Scheme. I happened to have been one of the trainers there. I was sent up to the Marshall Islands, and I did the journalism workshop with Radio Marshalls. And if you are talking about aging infrastructure, the equipment at Radio Marshalls was even older than that. But that was when I encountered the relationship between the government of the day and the media, where everything that went to air on that radio station had to be approved by the minister responsible. And that was the media in the Marshall Islands in the late 90s. I think there are still some countries in the region that are still kind of behaving like that. How do you get over that?
Yes, that is, and it's fascinating that you've seen that, and that's still in living memory, as it were. I mean, I think everyone would say that that doesn't sound like the sort of media that we need. I mean, the way that the Australian government is talking about it is around, you know, understanding that you need access to trusted informative sources of media, and that you need a sort of resilient and strong media ecosystem. Those are the sort of words that are being used. And I think embedded in that is the idea that, you know, if they're going to be trusted informative sources of media, well, yes, they can't all have gone across the minister's office, can they? So I think there is a strong sense of free and open media sources, how vital that is, and then Australia thinking about how it can support that now.
Melissa Conley-Taylor, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to me this morning.
A real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Like, share, mafa'ali sofi nangalo, muli muli ile SBS Samoan ile Facebook.